It's the Pirates Week for Sunday, November 23rd, 2008. Hey, I am Ragnar Dansjold, and you have once again found the Pirates Week, a show dedicated to pirate radio. Concentrating on the shortwave spectrum, but we cover all free media and pirate radio. Hey, we got a good show for you this week. We weren't here last week. We're on a well-deserved vacation, if I do say so myself. Hey, we have a couple of pirate in the news stories and some news from around the blogosphere this week. We're going to go through some relevant forum postings on the internet, including the Free Radio Network, and note stations logged per the Free Radio Weekly. We have a few off-air recordings and a couple closing thoughts for me, so stay tuned. It's a Pirates Week.
Almost live from the Fooking Ionosphere, it's the Pirates Week with Ragnar Dansjold.
How's everybody doing? Like I said, I was not here last week. I was on vacation, but I'm back. I got in late last night, so actually I'm not all that up on what's been going on this last week. I've been sitting in the woods in the middle of nowhere, but we're going to slap something together this morning, and I'm not sure what, but we'll both get up to date together. Now, hey, I'm now on iTunes. I finally broke down, got myself an iTunes account, and put the Pirates Week up on iTunes. I know a couple of people emailed me saying they're experiencing some problems. Well, that should be hopefully ironed out by today or tomorrow. I uploaded it to iTunes, got the account, and promptly went on vacation and didn't follow up on it doing that today. Hopefully everything will update when I upload this show, which will be the first one that that iTunes should recognize. But so check it out over on iTunes. Just search for the Pirates Week. Hey, also talking about getting the show in new ways. I also talked about it last week. I have the option of having it emailed to you, which is pretty cool. Actually, you're not going to get a huge email. It's just a quick email without the show, but it does have a link to the show, and the show notes are in the email. Just kind of an alert to you when something new pops up on the feed, and you can go ahead and download it that way if you wish. You can check all that out at piratesweek.info. Hey, and, you know, last week when I was not in, I had an automatic post going out saying that there was no show, but I did kind of do a call out for a new logo. And hey, I want to thank everybody who sent some stuff in. I got several things emailed to me, which is really cool. I wanted a new logo, seeing how we're on iTunes now, and iTunes wanted a very specific type of logo, or at least the size and format of the logo. I plan on using all the submissions in some sort of capacity, but a big thanks out there to Eric Adams for his submissions. He's a graphic novelist, and take a look at his work over at ericadams.net. Submitted a couple really decent logos. I'm going to end up using one of those for the show from now on, which is, hey, big props out there to Eric Adams. Check out his work, again, ericadams.net. And hey, finally, I'd like to wave a hand over at Free Radio Shukshong. That's Free Radio Shukshong. If you're in the Tucson, Arizona area, you may want to check out 90.9 FM. There's also a web stream. Links in the show notes, of course, piratesweek.info.
Hi there. This is the Difficult Listening Hour. I'm Esteban Caliente. And this is Tucson's only truly DIY underground independent radio station, Free Radio Chukchong.
Pirates in the News.
Well, I have a couple things for you in the Pirate in the News segment this week. Some old stuff and some new stuff. Let's start off with the old news. On last week's show, 2 weeks ago, we had the breaking news of the bust down in Florida of another FM station, Blazin 87.9, The Biz. Well, This Week in Amateur Radio covered it last week, so let's recap the story with This Week in Amateur Radio's take on it.
The investigation into Frankie Grover's unlicensed broadcasts began when a Lakeland, Florida detective spotted a flyer advertising a party sponsored by Blazin 87.9 Da Biz. With assistance of the FCC, the Lakeland detectives were able to locate where the 87.9 FM radio signal was broadcasting from. And believe it or not, that turned out to be a motel on a main street in that city. The FCC quickly confirmed that no license existed for the radio station on that frequency or at that location. So, for the next 2 months, detectives say they watched and listened to Frankie Grover and his Blazin 87. They say Grover was also running a live webcam and internet audio of 87.9 FM simultaneously with the radio broadcasts, so it was not all that difficult to keep tabs on him. On November 7th, detectives made their move. They arrested Grover after serving search warrants at the motel. Investigators say Grover paid $450 a month for each of the three rooms that they allege served as a studio and office for the station. At the time of the raid, police also seized all of Grover's broadcast equipment and radio gear. Detectives say Grover claimed he'd been in the radio business for 30 years and was former owner of radio station WHNR AM in Winter Haven. He was booked into the Polk County Jail and released the same day after posting a $1,000 bond. Operating an unlicensed broadcast station or making an unauthorized transmission on radio frequency is a third-degree felony under Florida state law.
Okay, how about some new news? John Anderson was on the Media Geek last week. He was discussing various aspects of pirate radio. They also discussed KBFR, the FM pirate in Boulder, Colorado. Now, we covered this a few weeks ago, but John adds a little more insight into the story. This is going to run about 5 minutes long, but it's definitely worth listening to. In fact, I highly recommend taking a listen to the Media Geek. Really, anytime John's on, it's really some informative listening on pirate and free radio. Take a listen to the Media Geek.
Speaking of pirate radio as well, I've read that KBFR
is back on the air. Yes.
This is a station in Boulder, Colorado, another college town about 45 minutes west of Denver, Colorado, mm-hmm. up in the hills, in the foothills there. And in a previous incarnation, run by a man known only as Monk, mm-hmm. played a pretty active game of cat and mouse with the Denver FCC office for several years.
Yep.
When did they finally go off the air? When did Monk finally shut it all down?
I don't remember the exact time. I want to say it was sometime like 2005 or something like that. Mm-hmm. It was during the second Bush administration. And effectively what the FCC did is they uncovered Monk's real identity.
January 2005.
Okay. They sent Monk a letter basically saying, we know who you are and we can pin all of this on you. And they did it in a nice way. They sent him a letter of inquiry as opposed to a warning or a fine or anything like that. And he said, well, my gig is up and I'm done. So the station's been dormant for a while. And now there's a new crew who's taken it over and have extended the decentralized transmission model that Monk had started. When KBFR was originally on the air, what they would do is they would have the transmitter located at any place where there's a broadband connection. And most often this is at people's homes or businesses, and they would move the transmitter there and they would use that broadband connection to webcast to the transmission site. So when the FCC showed up, they only tracked the transmitter, but they could never find the studio because the studio could be wherever there was an internet connection. Mm-hmm. And so the person who would get dimed or busted for having the transmitter would say, oh, I'm sorry, I didn't realize this was legal. I'll turn it off immediately. They'd turn it off, and then they would call the next person on the list and say, yo, you need to pick the gear up and set it up. This new crew is using the same technology in that they're webcasting from a decentralized studio space, but apparently they have already pre-positioned more than a dozen transmitters throughout the county.
Wow.
Yeah.
that's a lot of planning and forethought.
I think
that's
Monk,
like a hub and spoke system.
I think even though Monk is not involved personally in this, mm-hmm. I think he might have thrown some cash their way because without giving too much away about Monk, he is a middle-aged senior corporate executive with venture capital and new media technologies. So he's not, you know, your poor dumpster diving anarchist squat lover, mm-hmm. right? This is a guy who actually wanted to go on the air legally, and he bought all the equipment to go on the air legally under the original FCC low power FM rules. And when Congress trumped those and made it impossible for an LPFM station to set up in Boulder, Monk basically said, you know, F this, and we're going to do it anyway. And that's how Boulder Free Radio got started. This was a guy who was not a radical by any stretch of the imagination, you know, and what had happened with the FCC and Congress and the whole LPFM saga radicalized him. That's what started KBFR. Then he got dimed and the station's been dormant. Now it's back and it sounds like it's going to be around for a while.
And on his own blog, which is freemedia.blogspot.com, Monk says that he's moved out of town and makes a few comments about this particular station. Mostly makes comments about a story that ran in the Boulder Weekly, mm-hmm. I think it was not in the Boulder Weekly. I think it was in the Daily Camera, which is the college paper there for Colorado University. And takes the reporter to task because he called the FCC for comment and then called the local Clear Channel station for comment. And apparently neither the FCC nor the Clear Channel station were aware the station was on the air at that point.
Whoops. Yeah. Well, that's the double-edged sword when it comes to running a pirate radio station is you have to balance publicity with longevity. And I don't know why whoever is running KBFR now agreed to do the interview. But they say in this article that you reference, he says, you know, this new person whose name I can't remember, it's an alias, at the end of the article says, you know, it's really only a matter of time. It's a question of when, but not if the FCC shows up.
Right.
So
if
they already
they're going to run a 24/7 operation and they're going to be pretty out there.
But they're set up to resist. You know, they've mm-hmm. got redundancy up the wazoo, and that's really impressive, and it's nice to see them back on the air.
Taking a look around the blogosphere, taking a look at City on the Hill Press website, a promotional piece on Free Radio Santa Cruz. Actually, I've been seeing a lot of stuff this week on Free Radio Santa Cruz in the blogosphere. They must be on a self-promotion kick. Anyways, Free Radio Santa Cruz is on 101.1 FM in Santa Cruz, California. They've been busted by the FCC before, but they are still on the air with a lot of community support, including support from the City Council of Santa Cruz. They're transmitting with about 200 watts, but a Christian rock station recently started transmitting on 101.1 FM, the same frequency, but they're in an adjacent community and they're hampering the signal of Free Radio Santa Cruz. Like I said, taking a look on the Google News Reader, there's a bunch of stuff on Free Radio Santa Cruz this last week or so. But no real new news, but take a look over there. There will be links in the show notes, of course. Interesting station over there in California.
Breaking the law, breaking the law, breaking the law. Breaking the law, breaking the law, breaking the law.
The FRN Forum postings.
Time to take a look around the internet for some relevant forum posting, starting off like we always do with the Free Radio Network, frn.net/vines. Over in the Pirate Shortwave section, LC posted a link to the mother of all lists of schematics for all of you project builders. He supplies the link to satsleuth.com. IO Snope says it's everything someone needs to build a grenade clone is on this page. Hey, over in the Swap Shop, T posts last week that he needs a 5.575 megahertz crystal for a project. He doesn't really care about the case or the style of the crystal, but he also notes that he has a myriad of NOS tubes and components from the 30s through the 80s to trade or sell for that 5.575 megahertz crystal he's looking for. Hey, over in HF Underground, L. Phantom posts that World Radio Magazine is going to cease its print publication. They're being purchased by CQ Communications and will continue as a web-only publication. He goes on to supply the official notice, which goes on to say, World Radio to cease print publication November 13th, 2008. In a joint statement, World Radio publisher Arnold Noble, N6WR, and CQ publisher Dick Ross, K2NGA, announced that World Radio Magazine will no longer be published as a print magazine. According to the announcement, CQ Communications Incorporated has acquired World Radio and plans to continue it as an online publication on CQ's website. World Radio subscribers will have their subscriptions transferred to CQ Magazine. Readers will be notified of details as plans are finalized. Taking a look over at Alt Radio Pirate, Sean posted that he is looking for an ugly design 4-watt-ish PLL transmitter. He's found a few, but they are unstabilized, and he's always found unstabilized homebrews waste a lot of wattage, and they also splatter. Well, Bob points him towards PIRA.CZ. The 3-watt design there is actually capable of 5 watts and has the advantage of a simple PLL design. It needs a slightly better output filter to get rid of the potential harmonic problems, but he notes that it works pretty well. That's, where is that? PIRA.CZ. And from the Free Radio Weekly, number 667, dated November 22nd, 2008, covering free radio activity from the 15th to the 22nd of November. Stations being heard this last week include Old Turkey Radio, Radio Azteca, WMR, that's Wee Monkey Radio, WTPR, Tire Pressure Radio, and WTCR. And just a note on the Free Radio Weekly, Bill came up with the update to the email address for Dead Cat Radio. He says it's catus.morris.gmail. Let me spell that. catus.morruus@gmail.com.
This is Jane from Radio Fremont Erie, and you're listening to the Pirates Week with Ragnar Dennis Joel.
He's a fucking slug.
Okay, it's time now for some off-air recordings. Actually, let's click on the radio. I got it on 6925. It's actually the Gulch. And see if we have anything online. Actually, I can hear something way down in the noise. Real nasty buzz, though, but I can hear a little bit of something. It's 1830 UTC. Actually, I could probably run over to the FRN, see if anybody has a real-time log of what that was. I'm going to do that right now. Just waste a little bit of time here. Is it page loads on the FRN? Nope, nobody's logged it, but there is something there way down in the noise. Okay, let's get into some off-air recordings. First one up is Lex down in Texas on his Palstar R30C with a fugly indoor passive coax loop caught WTCR the 16th of November, 0100 UTC, opening with fanfare and a female voice ID for WTCR 20th Century Radio. He said it was a good signal down in north central Texas, and this is how Lex heard WTCR.
This is WTCR signing off. Good night, and have a pleasant tomorrow.
If you would like to receive a QHL card, please send your reception report to WTCR, Box 1, Belfast, New York, 14711. Please include 3 stamps or a dollar or two.
Well, we got another off-air recording, this one from Sealord down in Florida using the Tintec RX340. He caught Wolverine Radio the 22nd of November around 0330 UTC, 6925 upper sideband, gave it an SIO rating of 333. This is how Wolverine was hit in Florida back on the 22nd.
Wolverine Radio.
Sealord also caught James Bond Radio on the 22nd of November, 6925, upper sideband, SIO222, maybe a 322. He said it was a decent signal with some fading, but definitely audible into Florida. Take a listen to James Bond Radio.
Russia, I flew, but there suddenly you can't get my running around. It's true, I fly to you from Russia with
And finally, I recorded WTKY 6925 upper sideband this morning, the 23rd of November, around 1400 UTC. That's Turkey Radio, WTKY. Had a really decent signal coming in. You can hear it here. Take a listen to WTKY Turkey Radio.
There will be a day of Thanksgiving, and one in which all the world will share.
What kind of a Thanksgiving dinner is that? Where's the turkey, Chuck? Don't you know anything about Thanksgiving dinner? Where's the mashed potatoes? Where's the cranberry sauce? Where's the pumpkin pie?
The Pirates Week Podcast, your home for shortwave pirate information. PiratesWeek.info. That's PiratesWeek.info.
Does anyone around here still have a radio? Anyone here at all? Anyone here at all?
that's going to wrap up this edition of the Pirates Week. What did we learn this week? Well, we learned a couple things. We learned that the podcast is getting a new logo thanks to our awesome listeners, and I really want to thank everybody who did send something in. We also learned that Thanksgiving is shaping up to be more active than Halloween was this year, which is kind of interesting. And finally, well, Lex can build some really fugly antennas. Until next week, gang, hey, as always, thanks for listening.
From the Boat Anchor Soft Glow to your MP3 player via the World Wide Web, we meld the oldest and the newest audio technology. Welcome to the Pirates Week.
That's piratesweek.info.
You are without doubt the worst pirate I've ever heard of.
But you have heard of me.
Yeah, I guess I can say that now. Now that the 5-year statute of limitations is out, hey FCC, in case you might be listening over there at the office by O'Hare, I was a radio pirate 5 years ago, and I'm not anymore. And if you check my website out, pretty soon I'm going to have the entire archived audio air check of this radio station on the air.